today, just a thought that occurred to me last night. Last night, my shul had the first of a three-part pre-Shavuos series. Just of Divrei Chizik in Talmud Torah. So Rabbi Akiva Willig spoke last night. Next week, Rabbi Yoni Levin is speaking, and then the week after that, Rabbi Daniel Glassman is speaking. So Rabbi Akiva Willig had, I thought, a brilliant idea of he gave a great drasha, but just the idea of the drasha, the structure of the drasha, I thought was quite brilliant, and that is that he took the holidays of Chodesh Iyar and he tried to show how they each prepare us for the Yom Tov of Shavuos, that each of the holidays of Chodesh Iyar are in some way a preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. So how many holidays are there in Chodesh Iyar? So it depends how you count. It depends what you count as a holiday, what you don't count as a holiday. He counted three. He did not count Yom HaTzmaut. He counted Pesach Sheni, Lag Va'Omer, and Chav Ches Iyar Yom Yerushalayim. Right, those are the three that he used. I don't think it was a political statement that he counted those three. I just think he had what to say about those three. I once had a whole debate with another Rebbe in DRS that what's a bigger deal, Lag BaOmer or Yom HaTzmaut? Like, what's a bigger holiday? And my taina was that the fact that most modern Orthodox kids think that Lag BaOmer is a bigger holiday than Yom HaTzmaut means that the modern Orthodox education system has failed. And his taina was that I'm an apikoros. So it was like, it was a good healthy debate. I remember I asked Rav Shachter afterwards, I'm like, what's a bigger Yom Tov, Yom HaTzmaut or Lag BaOmer? He said, Lag BaOmer is the day we don't say Tachnun, but Yom HaTzmaut, that's it. So Rav Shachter agreed with me. Maybe that's where I got it from, but anyway. So I thought to take that same format and maybe highlight a few points that Rabbi Akiva Willig did not highlight. I mean, he highlighted the number one points. So I'll give you the number two points about each of them, about Pesach Sheni, Lag BaOmer, and Chav Ches Iyar, and what they represent. So first, as far as Pesach Sheni is concerned, so Pesach Sheni was really, it's a bidyavet. The whole thing is a bidyavet. It's because someone missed out on an opportunity because of Tumah, because of something that was unfortunate. By all accounts, it's unfortunate to be Tameh. They miss out on Pesach Rishon, and therefore, there's a concept of Pesach Sheni. Now, in general, if you miss out on a mitzvah, so you miss the mitzvah. No, avar zmano, batel karbano, and you move on with life. And there is no making up for things. But what happens with Pesach Sheni? People push, and they said, we didn't understand. We missed out on the mitzvah. We want an opportunity to bring Karban Pesach, and they're afforded the opportunity of Pesach Sheni. And I think what this highlights is that sometimes in life, and particularly in learning, a person feels that they've missed too many opportunities to really be able to accomplish. That we look too much in the past and not enough in the present and in the future. That we think, oh, you know, how am I ever supposed to be a Talmud Chacham if I didn't even open up a Gemara till, you know, January of Shana Bet? And there are all these other guys that have been learning since ninth grade. They've been learning night seder every night, you know, from certain yeshivas or whatever. And they're so much more advanced. How am I ever going to catch up? And it's true, halavai, we should have been learning night seder since ninth grade or even earlier, and we should have been so involved and engaged fully in Talmud Torah. But that's not healthy for us to say, oh, the opportunity is gone, and therefore I can't become a Talmud Chacham. The opportunity is gone. You know, in general, whenever an opportunity shuts itself down, whenever someone tells you, no, this can't happen, the right question to ask is, so what can I do? Meaning, if someone says, you're looking for an opportunity to do a particular mitzvah, and someone says, no, there's no available slot for you to, you know, to fill. Okay, so what can I do? How can I be helpful? What can I do that will be a chesed for somebody, or that will be helpful for somebody else? And the same is true in Talmud Torah. It's very helpful. It's not particularly helpful to think about a lost opportunity as just that, as something that's gone. Rabbi Akiva had a lot of lost time that he had to make up for, and he made up for lost time, and he became Rabbi Akiva. He didn't say, oh, I'm never going to be Hillel and Shammai, because they were learning since they were young. It's not even shaykh to become like that. He could have said that, but he decided instead to go ahead and try to make up for the lost time. Then you have Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer represents a lot of things, but what the Gemara says about Rav Shimon bar Yochai, which is and Rav Elazar, which is typically associated, obviously, with Lag BaOmer. One of my children is like such a Kalta Litvak, like he's like such a Beshitanik that he made a siyum recently. He said Lag BaOmer, which some believe to be the yard side of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Like come on, just say it's the Yom HaDibur of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Yes, I think he said Lag BaOmer, the yard side of the Rama, which some believe is also the yard side of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So Lag BaOmer is very much associated, obviously, with Torah Sanistar with Rav Shimon bar Yochai, but we most associate it with, at least in Shas, because it doesn't really come up in Shas, the Gemara never mentions Lag BaOmer, but the story of the cave is Shabbos Tav Lamed Gimel. That's what Chavrusa Verazin always likes to say, that it's very often it's difficult to remember what daf a particular Gemara is on. That's what Zichru is for, but Shabbos Lamed Gimel is easy, because Shabbos Tav Lag. So that's the Lag BaOmer story of being in the cave and coming out of the cave and destroying everything, and then ultimately seeing the fellow with the two hadasim, and because he had the two hadasim, Echad Keneged Shomer v'Echad Keneged Zachar, so they realized that the world is a worthy place, and therefore they were able to adapt to the world. So what exactly is the message of that story? So I think sometimes the precise message gets a little clouded. People generally take the message of that story to be that that we can adapt to society, that we can adjust to society, that we can live within society, and we don't have to be so intense. We don't have to be living the cave existence. But that's not exactly what it is. What it's saying is that the Torah itself fits seamlessly into society. It's not just that the Torah can be adapted, can fit, there's a way to make it work if you push here and you pull there and maybe you could squeeze it in to the society around us. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu stachel b'raisa bara alma. The world is here to be a reflection of the Torah. The world is a reflection of the Torah. And the Torah should naturally fit into the way the physical world runs. The mitzvos are there dafka for that purpose. If we didn't have a this world, then in a chinami, there would be Torah, but mitzvos are actions, mitzvos are deeds, mitzvos are things that are done with our physical bodies in a physical world. And maybe part of the message of Lag BaOmer is to bring the Beis Medrash to the world, not to try to superimpose the Beis Medrash on the world, but to show that the Beis Medrash fits with the natural world. Sometimes people make the mistake of over-engaging in society, over-engaging in culture. Like, the only way that I'm going to be able to inspire my Talmidim is if I make such a stunning array of movie references that they'll wonder if I ever learned Torah or if I just watch movies all day. That is not a healthy way to inspire Talmidim. That's, I think, an over-engagement in the world. Adrabba, we have the ability to take the Torah and make the Torah, not make the Torah fit the world, but demonstrate how the Torah fits seamlessly into the world. Not all of the world's values, all of the people's values in the world, but when the Torah is observed properly, it fits seamlessly with the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. That we can meet on the Torah's terms. We don't have to meet the world on the world's terms. The Torah's terms are the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu managed to make the world run. That's what they say about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that someone, they used to call him the most normal of the Gedolim. That he was just easy to talk to, and he was Mu'uravim Abrios, and he was someone that just seemed so down to earth. When people would come with their issues and their problems, he seemed to just get it. He seemed to understand. And they said, how could you be so big and also so normal? So he said, I don't understand the question even. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yistakel B'Araisa B'Ara Alma. If your Torah doesn't fit naturally with the world, then maybe there's something wrong with the Torah. The Torah has to fit naturally with the world if you're learning it properly. And that's the message, perhaps, or a message of Lag BaOmer. And then we move to Chav Ches Iyar. Chav Ches Iyar, in my mind at least, and really, truth is, Hey Iyar as well, are a clear demonstration that Nisim still happened, B'zman HaZeh. that we're not finished with miracles. Miracles aren't only things that we read about in the Bible. It's not only things that we learn about in Tanakh. Nisim still happen. You know, sometimes when you're too close to it, you don't realize just how supernatural an event is. But you study the wars of Israel, and this is something that's been pointed out by many, that you know, it's almost as if the Satmar Rebbe Zichrono Levracha's shita about Zionism is easier to understand in certain ways than many others, in the sense that some people just like ignore it. Ki'ilu, nothing happened. Okay, so now we have the ability to travel to Israel, but like there was nothing cosmic that changed, nothing significant, nothing, you know, earth-shattering. It's just, you know, the world events happening one day after the other, and like nothing worthy of note or of celebration. And there are people that are very religious people that just go through the calendar like that without even stopping to think about things like that. Satmar Rebbe stopped to think about it. Okay, he drew the exact opposite conclusion that we would, that our Rebbeim have drawn, you know, that it was so miraculous, it must be my Sasatan or whatever. Okay, but it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Whatever happened is a miracle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu still performs miracles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineers events. Particularly when it comes to Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineered an event that caused such a groundswell of emotion among the Jewish people, such a groundswell of feeling like you belong to something, which is something that Yerushalayim in particular is mesugal to do. It's the Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtav. It's a city that brings about a certain sense of achdus in Klal Yisrael. Okay, machlokas, whether it's Nischalkul Shvatim, not Nischalkul Shvatim, but it's Chubra Lo Yachtav. It's a place that brings about a certain sense of achdus within Klal Yisrael. You know, to get a sense of what was going on in 1967, when Hakotel Biyadenu, people were so overcome with emotion. I'm sure many of you, anyone who went to DRS knows that our Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, is named Yisrael Yair because he was born in 1967, and his parents, his father of David Zichrono Levracha and Tibbel Chaim Tov Maruchim, his mother, were so overwhelmed with emotion at what was going on in the world at that time that we have, that they named Yisrael Yair, that Israel should give off light, and that was the that's what people were naming their babies after events like this. Not everybody, but you know, some special people at least. They realize that this is something that's a unique event. And I think that certainly is a valid preparation, an important preparation for Kabbalah Satorah as well. That sense of togetherness, that sense of community. You know, the Torah was not given to an individual. The Torah was given to Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahar, who was given to all of Klal Yisrael Kishachad B'Lev Echad. And that doesn't just mean that we happen to have all been there and getting along with each other. It means that the Torah is meant for Klal Yisrael. The Torah is not meant only for individuals, and really the way that we study Torah, the way that we learn Torah, is meant as a social and communal exercise. I could tell you just recently in my shul, I do the Rav Yada Goldberg Smichas Chaver program. So for the last year, it was on Zoom, or at least with the Zoom option. And then after Pesach, he said, okay, America's opening up enough, Israel's opening up enough, all Smichas Chaver in Israel and America has to be only in person. And there was a lot of pushback. Why does it have to be that way? I'm so much more comfortable at home. You know, a lot of pushback. And we did it, you know, only in person. 50 people in the room to learn together, the energy in the room, the feeling was entirely different. Entirely different. Ah, people are learning at home. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. I don't know what people are doing at home. It could be that they are learning. It could be that they're not learning. It could be, you know, with the Zoom, with the camera off, what are they really doing? They're running around and doing errands as, you know, the shear is playing in the back. You lower the volume, then you don't even have to listen to it. You know, like, who knows what's going on? But when the people are in the room learning together, when Torah is experienced communally, that's an entirely, entirely different experience. Torah was given that way, and Torah is meant to be learned that way. So, in addition to Rabbi Akiva Willig's ha'aros that he gave last night. You can find it on Y.U. Torah, what his ha'aros were. Perhaps to use those same Yom Tovim with three different messages. That Pesach Sheni teaches us that we always have the opportunity to make up for missed opportunities, and we should look for the opportunity to make up for missed opportunities, for missed chances. And Lag Ba'Omer, that tells us that Estakel Ba'Raiso Bara Alma, that the Torah fits seamlessly with the world that the Ribbono Shalom created, and Chaf Ches Iyar, Yom Yerushalayim, that teaches us about becoming a community, an ir shechubel yachtav, and with those three components together, we should be more prepared for a proper Kabbalah Satorah.